Ebenezer Barnabas Kali. Mr. Dikale, good morning. Yeah, welcome. Yeah. Just relax, feel free. Feel at home. There's a bottle of water. If maybe you're thirsty or you want to at least distress, you can drink water. I'm sure you are not expecting us that we are going to grill you, ne? We are. This committee is very good. Nobody is going to grill you. All what you want to hear from you is when members are asking you questions, you must respond according to the questions. Even yourself, you must not be tempted to prolong your answers, because sometimes some of the candidates and honorable members, they start by giving a background and history. Sometimes it's relevant. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. And when you are supposed now to answer the question, already your time is over. So don't get tempted. But there's nothing wrong if there's a little bit background of history that you want to give, but you must mind your time. Each question, you are given 3 minutes to respond. You must know you have 25 minutes. Yeah, for as long as you are within your 25 minutes, you'll be on track. But some questions, because they differ, honorable members, they ask different questions in different ways, but we are about the CGE. The questions are based on the CGE. Yeah. Thank you very much, honorable members. I now introduce myself. My name is Nhlanhla Ncube-Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of this ad hoc committee. On my left-hand side, I have Nelisa Nobatana. She's the committee secretary. And on my right-hand side today, I have Kashifa, who's our content advisor. Next to you, there is a lady from Human Resource Department Division here in Parliament. And then behind you, all those ladies are our staff members here in Parliament. We've got our media person, Yoliswa, we've got Crystal, and then next to Crystal is Honorable Velma's interpreter, and then we've got Nomvula at the corner there. She's the manager for committees. I therefore allow honorable members to introduce themselves.
Good morning. That is Khali. My name is Dorim Rudwa. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Dr. Khali. My name is Thabo Manyoni. I'm the member of the committee.
Good morning, Dr. Khali. I'm Honorable PJ Maduleke, member of this committee.
Morning, Chair. Morning, my name is Nokholi Majeke, member of the committee.
No, Chair, I'm not fighting you. You're not fighting me.
Good morning, Mr. Dikale. My name is Pinky Chikan. I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, sir. Kerry Sander, member of the committee.
Good morning, sir. My name is Mansama Tracy. I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, Wilma Nehodrukhan. I'm a member of the committee. And voicing for me is my sign language interpreter, Trudy Kena. Morning.
Thank you, Honourable Sopin.
Mm-hmm.
At least you are here. You got the transport?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Can you please introduce yourself?
Morning, I'm Cindy, a member of this committee.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Members. So now we start, Honourable Dikale. Mr. Dikale. our first question is: tell us about yourself and what do you, why do you think you are a suitable candidate for this position?
Thank you, Kepete. Let me start by greeting, you know, all members of this committee and the support staff present here. Thank you for affording me this opportunity to be here. And also I'd like to thank, you know, the organization that nominated me to be in this interview. Honorable Chairperson, I have been a human rights activist and a gender activist for more than, you know, two decades. I started, you know, from early days at school. Then I moved to, I worked for you know, NGO called NICRO, where I was active in terms of, you know, community work, coming up with community safety project and educational project. And among some of the activities that I focused on was on, you know, sexual violence, you know, activities focusing on women in particular. And I was also, you know, key in promoting the juvenile justice system for young offenders. And then I moved to the Japanese International Volunteer Center, where I was only responsible for, I was the grants manager for that international aid, you know, organization. And in that in those years, I was responsible for, you know, allocating grants for the displaced refugees in South Africa, you know, giving them relief assistance in the form of bazaaries, you know, trying to get shelter for them. And in particular, my focus was on women in particular and children. And I moved to the Learning for All Trust. And my focus there was working with the children, you know, in malnourished, you know, poverty-stricken children, you know, in the entire country. And I then moved to the Commission for Gender Equality, where I was, I stayed for the Commission on Gender Equality for more than a decade, I guess so. And I was responsible for the Limpopo province. And I must say that by then, Northwest and Mpumalanga, there were no offices. And then CEO of the Commission for Gender Equality assigned me to go and open up offices in those two provinces respectively. So I ended up, I was the only provincial coordinator responsible for three provinces, while others were only responsible for their assigned provinces, for their assigned province. I was able to, you know, to carry out, you know, my duties as expected, producing three reports, you know, for each province. And I must say that, you know, I have been radically advocating for women empowerment and for also for the plight of children, especially those in rural areas. I have crisscrossed the province, the provinces that I've mentioned. My focus has been on, you know, engaging, you know, rural, you know, communities in terms of educating, you know, transforming, you know, their living, you know, standard. I think in a nutshell, Chairperson, that's what I can say. And third Chairperson, lastly, I'm also involved, I've served in various boards of NGOs. I was also instrumental in the establishment of the Rollback Xenophobia Campaign, which got recognition nationally. Also, somewhere in Mpumalanga, back in the days, I was also a secretary for the Vulameso Street Children Project. And then currently, I'm a member of South African Progressive Women's Movement. Mm-hmm. And I serve in the campaigns committee as the chairperson of that committee. And also,
I think it's enough.
Okay.
Yeah. I therefore allow honorable members to ask you questions. Ma'am Story, honorable Maluleke, honorable Majeke, honorable Velma, honorable Nomsa, honorable Nokolo, and honorable Keka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. That day, Sipodi Khan. I just want clarity on one issue. I've gone through your responses to this committee, and one of them is that you were unfairly dismissed as a gender commissioner for whistleblowing of allegation of financial impropriety, maladministration, etc. And I know, of course, it was cleared by the CCMA. Now, my question is, if you were to be appointed as a commissioner now, how are you going to cooperate and work with the CEO? The CEO that was the then CEO then, and now is still the CEO. How do you think you can cooperate and work with such a person?
Thank you. Once more, good morning, Honorable Mam Muruti. I think, you know, my dismissal was and reinstatement was based on good governance principles. Then the current CEO was not a CEO by then. She was part of us as a staff member. One thing that you question was that, I mean, good governance doesn't allow that, I mean, commissioner can be a CEO. In that case, back in those in that instance, the two commissioners assume the responsibility of becoming CEO. So we need to separate the powers of the commissioners and that of the staff. So that was what we were raising, an issue of maladministration, issues of you know, abuse of power. So the current CEO was part of the staff. I think, I mean, the public protector made it clear, hence we were able to be reinstated. But the issue here was, you know, separation of power. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Bedihad, when you applied for this position, I think you had an understanding of what CGE is all about. Can you unpack to ask your understanding of CGE, and if you are appointed as a commissioner, what will we do to ensure that this body is visible, especially in the rural areas? Thank you.
thank you, Honorable Maluleka. I think, you know, if you go to Chapter 9 of the Constitution, of the South African Constitution, CGE is one of those institutions established under Section 181. I'm talking about the Public Protector, the Electoral Commission. I'm talking about, you know, the Auditor General. I'm talking about the CLR. I'm talking about the Commission for Gender Equality. Those are some of the institutions established under Section 181. Now, the Commission on Gender Equality, if you go to Section 187, Chapter 2 of the Constitution, you know, it gives commission power to promote, you know, gender equality and protection development and attainment of gender equality in the Republic of South Africa. Going to Section 3 of the Commission for Gender Equality Act Number 39 of 1996, it lists to the people that should be appointed as commissioners. And among those, it says that it should be a person who has got a clear, you know, good record of the Commission on Gender Equality, of gender issues. Somebody who's skilled enough, who's knowledgeable enough, you know, to promote the objective of the Commission for Gender Equality. And looking at the section 10, I mean, it talks about, you know, the independency of the Commission for Gender Equality. It needs somebody who is who has got a good stature. It needs somebody who will exercise his function or her function with in good faith, without prejudice, you know, unbiased. And then you go to Section 11, which talks about the powers and functions of the Commission. Among them, it talks about, you know, conducting investigation. It talks about educating, developing, you know, educational materials. You know, it talks about, you know, conducting research to making recommendations to Parliament on piece of legislation. It also talk about, you know, working with the various sectors, including the civil society organizations and, you know, Parliament itself, and also monitoring compliance with international treaties, conventions, charters, protocols, and any name them. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maseke.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Tekhale, Section 187(1) of the Constitution of South Africa stipulates very clearly what CGE must do. I won't go to that, but it also talks about gender equality and protection as well. This is still not happening. If it is happening, it is happening in a very slow pace. How would you make sure that this is adhered to in the government, department, in private sector, so that women are not undermined? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Majake. I think if you look at it at government level, CGE, at government level, there is enough progress taking place. You know, government has introduced progressive legislation for the empowerment and a promotion of women. Now, we are lacking in the private sector. Our boardrooms are still, you know, male dominated, you know, and white also. Now, what needs to happen is that the unfortunate part is that, you know, right now, recently, there is a new bill that has just been introduced, the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, which promotes 50-50, you know, representation of women across all spectra. But I think from where I'm sitting is that, you know, the enforcement of, you know, the current laws that, you know, our government has enacted, the enforcement of, you know, the international treaties that are in place. You know, we are lacking when it comes to that. I should think once I'm being appointed, my first priority will be to enforce, you know, those pieces of legislation that we have been, you know, ratified. And also another part will be, you know, policy, you know, monitoring. We are lacking in that. You know, we have produced so many policies. Government has produced so many policies, but now the monitoring implementation of those policies is lacking. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Zalma.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for being here. I just want to talk about the marginalized people in the community, like women with disabilities, elderly people, or women LGBTQI, a girl child with a disability, especially. Now, during your time at the commission in 2002 to 2011, what was done for those marginalized groups at that time? And then, if you should be appointed on the TGE, what will you do to improve the lives of people in the marginalized communities, especially, you know, they still face abuse, violence against them, etc. So, and the elderly are at home, they're being abused by their own family members. So what will you do to make sure that that is prevented, to stop the abuse? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Verma, for that question. I think through you, Chairperson, you know, unfortunately, should I be appointed, I'm going to continue where I left at the Commission for Gender Equality. Being an activist, you know, you'll know that I have initiated so many projects at the Commission for Gender Equality. And, you know, they are now nationally recognized. One of them is widowhood. And one of them, another one is witchcraft. Whenever we talk of witchcraft, they forever refer, you know, the Mbombo, for example. And you talk about witchcraft, they always associate witchcraft with, you know, those ugly, you know, women. You know, if you are an ugly woman, you know, you are always associated with witchcraft. But if you are a yellow bowl, you know, you are not a witchcraft. You are not a witch, don't you think? Now, I'm quite aware that women living with disability have been left out of the equation, and my objective is that, you know, we need to bring women living with, you know, disability on the equation, because those women are you know, most vulnerable, and also children living with disability. During my tenure, I have interacted with, you know, various sectors of our community, including, you know, women living with disability and women, you know, incarcerated. You know, some of those women that are incarcerated, they've got children in prison. You know, some of them, you know, the way they were being incarcerated, you find that, I mean, it is totally unfair. You know, the poor woman was defending herself, you know, against an abusive husband. So, like I said, that I'm just going to continue the good work that I've been doing at the Commission for Gender Equality. Also, on my agenda is women living with disability.
Thank you very much. Honorable Namsa.
Thank you, Say. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Dikhali, I just want to find out, you worked in many NGOs as a leader and an administrator with obviously some experience in CGE before joining the Department of Agriculture. In your opinion, what interventions does CGE need to create a self sustainable initiative that will effectively bring the economic upliftment and emancipation of women?
Thank you, Honorable Mashiz. I think what's important for the CGE is, like I've indicated initially, that, you know, the enforcement part. You know, from where I'm sitting is that the CGE serves in the National Gender Missionary. But the voice of the CGE, remember, the National Gender Missionary is led by government, which is the Department of Women, Children, blah, 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 and people living with disability. The CGE is invited, doesn't have much say there. But my understanding is that from where I'm sitting, that CGE must strengthen its relationship with, you know, civil organization, civil society organization. It must strengthen its relationship with Parliament. Come again. Okay.
Just saying that we do have a good relationship with DGE, but I just want, can you elaborate on this? You need to strengthen that.
Okay, when I'm saying, you know, with Parliament, I'm trying to say, you know, like I said earlier on, that, you know, there are so many research documents that, you know, have been presented before Parliament by CGE. But now, in terms of making follow-up, in terms of enforcing that those recommendations are carried out, that's the problem that I have. And that should be, you know, done at the CSLE. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nakono.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to ask two questions, but the first one first and get an answer, and then I'll get the second one. Thank you. Sir, with your experience in the CGE from 2002 to 2011, you've mentioned some of the papers that you have formulated, like the witchcraft and the widow were all. I want to ask specifically, when you left that organization, how did you impact it? So what was your legacy at that organization in affecting change? That's my first question.
Thank you, Honorable Sander. No problem. You know, without fear of contradiction, I'm proud that I've left a footprint. In fact, in the three provinces that I've worked, and in particular, the Limpopo province. You know, you get feedback from stakeholders. You know, at some stage, people, they couldn't differentiate me between a commissioner and a staff member. They saw me as a commissioner, whereas I was just an ordinary staff member. Whenever you speak about the name of SIPO, they always associate that name with the Commission for Gender Equality. So you can't dissociate the two. But I would say, like I said, that, you know, I have contributed enormously, especially in the, you know, that in the rural communities, working with you know, civil structures, you know, House of Traditional Leaders, you know, youth structures in that particular area. And interestingly, as and when, you know, you speak about, you know, widowhood reports, witchcraft, involvement of men also started in that province, in the Limpopo province. I initiated that project because initially, you know, the approach was that, you know, most of the commissioners were focusing, you know, their focus was more of a feminist approach. But I thought that, you know, we need to, you know, to involve men, since the commission is about the gender equality. So I must say that, you know, I have left a legacy which is until now is still, you know, irreplaceable. Hence, you know, at some stage, you know, I was invited by, you know, to come and assist, you know, the Women's League at some stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir, in the advertisement for this position, paragraph 4, it says that members need to be fit and proper, or persons should be fit and proper. Furthermore, in section 3.2 of the questionnaire that you completed, it gave candidates the opportunity to disclose any financial or other circumstances that might cast doubt on the applicants. We vetted every candidate very, very strictly, and an issue of a judgment came up on your name from 2012. The question is that we are giving you the opportunity to explain the circumstances around that now, and also why you failed to disclose that, as that could be, in terms of 3.6 of the questionnaire, of any other relevant matters which concern honesty, integrity, and reliability that you should have brought to the attention of the committee. So it's up to you.
Thank you once more. I think what I've indicated, there was another question that was forwarded to me where I indicated that between, I can't remember the word, between 2011 to 2012, I was once, you know, arrested for alleged drunken driving. And unfortunately, the court dismissed that matter. And because there was no enough evidence that was submitted. And then, now, I should think on the question of, you know, financial disclosure, I perhaps I didn't understand it creating. What was it that I needed to report about, you know, whether I had, you know, judgment, you know, on my finances. I know that, I mean, right now, I do have, you know, judgment, because at some stage, you know, I couldn't cope, you know. I left the Commission on Gender Equality, and I had, you know, financial burden. But I can indicate that, you know, I'm busy, you know, settling that issue with the debtor, you know, concerned. You know, we have reached an agreement, and I have, you know, closed some of my debts. Thank you.
That needs to be the third question. It's over already. Yeah. Honorable Kekane, Honorable Sope.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Mr. Dekhale. CGE's role is to educate, lobby, and advise, and also report on issues concerning gender equality. And given the challenges that we are still faced with on violence against women and children, are we doing enough to educate or lobby our male counterparts to come to the party? That's the first one. And secondly, there are deliberate programs and focus on the girl child. And of course we understand, because of the many challenges that girls are confronted with. But don't you think going forward, boys will also feel vulnerable if there are no programs to empower them at this early age to understand issues of gender equality? Today, for instance, there is a deafening silence around boy molestation. They are being molested, ne? English is not my mother tongue. Which in itself is a serious crime. What is your view on this matter?
Thank you, Honorable Gekana. I think I've indicated that either on that, you know, when I joined the CGE, the approach was more of a, you know, seminar. Now, I brought into, you know, the discourse, you know, the issue of involvement of me. And to that effect, you know, at provincial level, we had a men's summit to include men, to talk about, you know, gender issues. And that, you know, men's summit, you know, made recommendations that you cannot talk about, you know, to deal away with the perception that gender is not about women. Because whenever people, they talk of gender, they think about women. I mean, you look at departments, you know, at departmental level, you've got gender focal points. And most of those positions at that level are occupied by women. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that I know also that, I mean, when I started working for Commission for Gender Equality, they said, I mean, a man, why is the man, you know, pushing the struggle, you know, for gender equality? But in terms of education and lobbying advice, I should think we need to, you know, to strengthen our campaigns, you know, focusing on, you know, getting men involved in all sectors of our society. We are living in a patriarchal society where, you know, we need to deal with, you know, attitudes, behavior, you know, norms, you know, and you know, practices, which must be, you know, eradicated, you know, as a matter of fact. And in terms of, you know, the boy child, I think it's high time that, you know, the commission should engage with the Department of Education one way or another. That gender issues should form part of the curriculum of our children. Once we start, you know, engaging with our kids at that early age, I should think we'll be able to address, you know, the you know, the issue of patriarchy, you know, the power relations between, you know, boys and girls. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And that is Dikhale Morning. I have two questions regarding your credit record. You just said in front of this committee that you are in agreement sort of with the institution that you are owing, which is Old Mutual according to our records here. But according to my understanding, is that if you have a judgment, you should settle that with court. Are you still telling the truth in front of this committee regarding section 3.6 of the advertisement? That's one. The second issue that I want to get a clarity from you on your CV, on page 11, you have said you are non-political affiliation with the ANC, and you have been working with ANC Women's League, you've been working with ANC. So if you can get this job, are you going to be objective enough to also to assist other political organization who will come to your office wearing other political t-shirts as you are aligned to one political party? Do you think you can be objective enough to be matured to service everyone in the eyes of the commission? Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Shopping. I think on the issue of judgment, Honorable Shopping, I have never appeared before any magistrate, for that matter. Summons were already issued, but unfortunately, by then I had already made arrangements with the institution, and those summons, they were withdrawn. I know that, I mean, it will appear that there is a judgment, but I never appeared before any magistrate related to the old mutual issue. Now, currently, I can state that, you know, I have negotiated with them, and I'm paying them, you know, but I never appeared, you know, before any magistrate, for that matter. On the issue of my association with the ANC Women's League or the Ruling Party, I think, Honorable Chope, my right of association is protected. My right of association of movement is protected within the Constitution of South Africa. And if you look at Section 10 of the CGE Act 39 of 1996, it talks about independence. I'm going there, it's not for the first time I've been, you know, at the CGE. It's not the first time that I've been working with, you know, for NGOs. I'm going there to apply my independent judgment. I'm going there to be unbiased. I'm going there to execute my functions and responsibilities without fear and favor. Thank you.
Honorable Mamstori.
Chairperson, I know you said we should try and interview, but I've got one little thing that I need clarity on. Ngate Dikgale, you gave us such a good motivation on yourself and the program that you have done, and you are so innovative. And at the end, you tell us that people were mistaking you for a commissioner when you were part of the staff. What is it exactly? Were you a commissioner? Can you elaborate on that?
Thank you, Honorable Muruto. I think, you know, we need to understand that I was more, you know, visible, more popular than, you know, the commissioner assigned to that province. Thank you.
So you were acting, you were doing even responsibilities of commissioner. Going an extra mile.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for honoring our invitation. And do you have anything to ask the committee? Anything that you want to raise, sir?
Not really. But I know that I'm going to go, you know, the processes from here. Let me not, you know, bombard you with, you know, a lot of questions, but I know the process that is going to go to Parliament, you know, approval, things like that, and sometimes it might be, you know, beyond your expectations. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure you enjoyed sleeping in Cape Town.
I don't think I've enjoyed.
And
it's,
you were not.
It's one process that I don't like.
Traffic. Why not?
No.
Why? Beautiful country.
The atmosphere here is not welcoming. The people here,
you know. Okay, thank you very much. Have a safe trip.
Thank you, Chair, and the committee, including, you know, the support staff.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.